Unfortunately, one quality that is sadly lacking within us is the quality of kindness, compassion, to be considered for other people. This is an element which has been taught to us and encouraged by Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sadly, we find ourselves devoid of this particular element, this quality. To be kind to others, to be compassionate, to be considerate of other people. And to call this quality lacking within us, we find that a lot of chaos and pneumonia, a lot of feud and fighting take place within the community. We find because of certain reasons, certain issues take place because there is not enough for the certain family member demands. That is why I am now going to break off ties with you for little certain reasons. Or because a certain member was not considerate, did not like comply with certain issues of mine, so now I'm cutting off ties with the neighbor. So much so that then I begin to make it so difficult for the neighbor that the neighbor feels that he rather move out of the neighborhood. We find on the road, we all drive motor vehicles practically. We have to be kind and compassionate to other road users as well. Be considerate of it. Just because a certain driver overtook me, I am supposed to have the fastest and the most souped-up vehicle on the road, because I should remain the boss of the road, the top dog, the top brass. Why do you have the nerve to overtake me? And because of this, you see, road rage incidents in the place. One car trying to push the other car off the road, making a vehicle stop, the man will come out with a weapon, smash the person hastily. Sometimes it leads to bloodshed as well. And the reason for it is simple, that we are not considerate of other road users. If that person is covered, why should I also be stopped? Let's take it right away to me. If the neighbor is being nasty to me, let me be good to me. If the family member has passed vicious remarks about my family, let me overlook that, forgive me. Then we'll have a peaceful, harmonious atmosphere to live in. We should invite in ourselves the quality and kindness of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that al-Muslimu man sallam al-Muslimu min lisanihi wa yadihi, that the true Muslim is the one from whose physical and verbal abuse other people have abused. We should neither harm anyone physically nor verbal abuse as a person. If we show kindness and compassion and consideration, then it will lead to us to be tolerant to other people. We'll be patient in the face of adversity. But if, because we do not have the element of kindness and consideration, compassion, this leads to all these types of problems that you see around us. On one occasion, the Shaitan and Holy Prophet people had harassing, abusing, people had insulted him. So he came to sit beneath the shape of a tree, very despondent. Allah Ta'ala wished to give him a wake-up call. The tree that he had under, miraculously, when Allah Ta'ala gave the power of speech, he heard the tree talking. The tree said to him, "Let go in listen. Suddenly we are more than in the Shabbat, وَأَنَا أَرْبِيهِ لِلْأَسْمَاءِ." The tree said to Sufyan, Rahmatullahi, that he like me, people throw stones at me, but I throw fruit at me. Whenever they want to bring down fruit from the higher branches, he throws stones at the branch to let the fruit dislodge and come onto the ground. So the tree said to him, that be patient, adopt my quality, that even if people have stones at you, you throw fruit at them. Jawab Sadhguru, he said in a certain person in the visual check on gratitude, he is your good in verbally, in fasting, swearing, in his walk on the road. But this Bhushur in turn never retaliates, because this was too obvious to the Kareem from the long term. Instead of retaliating, he is to send gifts for that person, that is your good. Not so that enough, that eventually that person will show the kindness, compassionate nature of the Bhushur. He eventually stops all the abuse, all the insult. So this Bhushur in turn stops sending the gift. So he sends a message that when I actually insult you, abuse you, you should send gifts to me. Now the gift has stopped. So he says, because you stopped insulting me. Now you are insulting me, you are doing me a favor. My sins will be washed away. My faith is already annihilated in the sight of Allah. Why should I fall in my reputation? Why should I become like you? Why should I return a few for you? I rather remain silent, because that's the way of the beginning of the Lord Himself. In a certain locality, a group has settled on one bank of the river. Very simple house is shacked, and people used to come and learn this from me. Many people used to say it's Murid. After a period of time, another Guru on his travels, he found it an appropriate place to stay. So he put up his shack on this bank of the river, on the opposite bank. And he thought to himself in the place of seclusion, I can seclude myself and engage privately in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Bhushur on the opposite bank came to learn of this. He saw what happened, that now the Murid was beginning to incline toward this person. They were beginning to set his company. So what he did, just a gesture, he felt it coming out of water to the brim and sent it to the second Bhushur that had arrived, indicating that the love fell to the brim in order to draw place for another Bhushur in this locality. You are present in my existence. So the second Bhushur, what he did, he took a few sour petals and he put it on top of the surface of the water in the tumbler, and he sent it back to him, indicating, कि मैं बोल बनकर रहूंगा सांसा बनकर नजर आऊंगा. Without another gear, not to harass you, not to threaten your reputation, your acceptability in the people. I will live here, not causing any disturbance in your activity. You can continue to nurture your body, continue whatever you are doing. I will not be peacefully in this little heart of mine, engage in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a way of putting it and we can't see the difference. They will be considered to our people, kind, compassionate one. And this is what Allah Ta'ala mentions about the name Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the two verses, the closing verses of Surah Tawbah, which I recited to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. The surely unto you has come a Rasul from among yourselves, from the human species. Allah did not send the messenger from among the angels, but from your own species. You recognize me as your fellow human being. You know about this family of beings which was born in Mecca into the noble family of the Quraysh. His claim was of Banu Hashim. You know his character, his sublime habit and character traits. And then some of the traits and the generation that Azizun Alayhi Ma'anitu. That this Rasul of Allah is so concerned about the Ummah. That whatever Allah Ta'ala says difficult is, come down upon you. This Sayyidina Sabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this Sayyidina Sabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't want to see any of his Ummah. He is put into complication, into difficulty, into this. This was in the blind quality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another quality, he is anxious to see good fortune coming. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants every ummati of him to be blessed for the love of Iman, to achieve the grace and the favor of Allah, so that he can have a success of not only this world, but of the year. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَوْفَ الرَّحِيمِ. And the Rasul is such, yet particularly with regard to those who accept and embrace the deen that he brought to them, the mu'mineen, with them, Nabi and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is especially kind and merciful. He is kind and compassionate for them. The dialogue that we take the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu a cornerstone of the work of Dawah and Tabligh. They've been inviting other people towards the Masjid, inviting other people towards the Deen of Allah. Not Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should invite them in a kind and compassionate manner. Be gentle towards them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was gentle in his approach. Do not criticize them. Do not say it's a lost case. No one is allowed to be there. When Allah Ta'ala wants to give desire, overnight it will be denied. So this is a cornerstone of the even the work of Dawah and Tabligh, of even Wa'ad and Nasihah. We may invite people, advise them in a gentle manner. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even with his opponent. He is to be kind and compassionate to all. He is to win over the heart. And this is how we can grow and grow into the fall of Islam. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ أَبْدِيَ اللَّهِ. That in spite of your kind and compassionate nature, if they still turn away from the deen of Allah, فَقُلْ أَبْدِيَ اللَّهِ. Saying that Allah is sufficient for me. لا إله إلا الله إذ لا تلقوا رشد إكتاب الله عليك توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. It is only not Allah whom I rely and put my trust. He is the Rabb of the glorious throne. So here Allah has described this sublime quality of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he was kind and compassionate towards us. In the hadith of our Prophet, we learn about the compassion and nature of Allah Ta'ala. In the Quran, we read daily, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the beings who is most beneficent, in others most kind and compassionate, Rahman, and Rahim, Rahim, most merciful. When this is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are told to ta'allaqu bil akhlaqillah. Imbibe yourself with the qualities of Allah. Of course, the qualities of Allah are eternal, infinite. We are not eternal, infinite. We came to the world after nothing. One day we have to leave the world. Our qualities that are portrayed in this world also contain together with our death. We will be rewarded for the good qualities in the afterlife. So this world, and we are not everlasting. So even though we cannot acquire the infinite quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quality of Rahman, being kind and compassionate, at least we could attempt to bring a semblance of this quality into our day-to-day life, to be kind and considerate towards others, to be compassionate towards others. The hadith also describes this quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the Prophet mentioned the hadith, Ar-Rahimun Yarhamukum Rahman Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Irhamu Man Fil Ard Yarhamukum Man Fis Sama, Aw Kama Qala Alayhi Salatu Wa Salam. The Lord will show kindness and compassion to one another. Allah will show kindness to them. Then Allah Ta'ala says, oh, show kindness and mercy to my creation. Nabi Ta'ala says, show kindness to the creation of Allah and let being that has sovereignty, that has the kingdom, control of the entire universe, let being will show kindness to you and will show mercy to you. If you are kind to others, and there is the quality of Allah, Allah will be kind to all that. He will be compassionate to all that. In the Ahadith we learn that Allah Ta'ala has merely revealed onto His entire universe 1% of His kindness and His mercy. The other 99% He has reserved for the Akhirah. And this is by virtue of this 1% of Allah Ta'ala's compassionate nature, mercy, that makes itself manifest on the face of this earth. Nabi Ta'ala said, it is because of that that a mother shows kindness to her children, to her baby, so much so that even among the animals. The hadith tells us that when an animal mother lifts its leg about to put the leg on the ground, it knows that it is little baby on the ground, so it moves its leg away out of fear of not wanting to trample its own child. So Allah has put that mercy even into the heart of the animal. Allah has reserved the other 99% of His mercy for the Akhirah. They will come to the fore. The Ahadith show us the mercy of Allah in the Akhirah. That a person, a sinner, will be brought forward on the plains of Qiyamah. Allah will throw a parda over him, a curtain over him, so that no one else on the plains of Qiyamah can listen to the conversation and swing there. Allah will tell the person that you committed so and so sin on the so and so day. He will admit, he cannot deny. He knows Allah is the knower of every sin. He will confess to those sins one by one after the other. Then eventually Allah will give good news. Then I conceal your sins in the world, I am concealing them here as well. By throwing the parda over you, the curtain over you,
and in your every instant you commit it, and converting it to a reward for a good deed. فَوَلَاكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ السَّيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Allah mentioned in the Quran, Allah will convert even the evil deed into good deed. So when he was able to get good news, Allah has pointed out one of the ten. He was then beginning to himself confess to many of his other sins. Said, "Oh Allah, I do not see a certain sin that has been disclosed here. A certain other sin also. Yet has been brought forward." In other words, he will become anxious that if Allah has given me good deeds in lieu of these sins which Allah Ta'ala pointed out, perhaps he will give me good deeds and reward. Convert even the other sin into good deeds. Even though Allah doesn't know the other sin, Allah will not disclose it. But this will encourage him to disclose his sin himself. Either just deeds can be even converted into good deeds. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he mentioned the three wives, this hadith to the Sahaba, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled. They look at this person, how joyous he will become, that Allah can have so merciful on his day, that even the sins are being converted into good deeds. And of course, it has given a license to continue committing sins. This refers to those people who are remorseful over it. And perhaps do not give the time to repent for the sin, and the time of death appears. So because of the remorse, because they were not committing sins, being gracious about it, Allah Ta'ala will overlook this. The hadith tells us, on the day of Qiyamah, one person of heaven's deeds weighed on the scale of deeds. Yes, our Allah will be raised on that day. One hand carrying the good deed and the other hand carrying the evil deed. So one man will have his deeds weighed and the two things will be equal. In order to earn the grace of Allah, the good fortune of entering judgment, it will be required that the man of good deeds must sit in his favor. So you will be very worried. You will be running out of shelter. Allah describes the deen. يَوْمَ يَحْشُرُ اللَّهُ مِنَ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On that day people will run away from their brothers. They will try and dodge them. They will run from their parents, run from their spouses, from their children. Because those parents, children, spouses will want your good deeds. They give me some of your good deeds so that the kind of good deeds can be in my favor. No one will be prepared to give the good deeds. So this man said and called on, wondering, where will I get the single good deed to check the skin in my favor? Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned an incident, this rewired declaration. He said one person was standing in the corner of the plains of Qiyamah, observing the grief of this person, taking his one single good deed. And this man observing him was the mu'min. He died with iman. But he washed his entire life down the drain, still keeping the disobedience of Allah. He will have only done nothing but transgression, with the exception of one single good deed that he carried out in his lifetime. So So he will give to himself. And have only one good deed. What good is that to me? The plan of evil deed will definitely outweigh the single good deed. So he will call that person. Say, listen, you need one good deed to set the scale in your favor. I am sacrificing. I am giving the good deed to you. You take it. So he will go ahead and put it in the plan of good deed. And he will trip in his favor. He will acquire the power and the grace of Allah. It will be decreed for him to go into Jannah. But then Allah will call the other person and say to him, you have one good deed, why did you give it to him? So he will say to Allah, said Allah, I wasted my entire life. I did not do a single good deed. Besides that one, that I gave away. So silent earth of kindness and compassion came within me. At least on this day, let me be kind to someone. He was in a predicament. I had the way to remove him from the predicament. So I gave the good deed away to him. Allah was saying to him, you also go into Jannah. Because of your sacrifice, your kindness and compassion is mentioned. So look at the 99% of Allah Ta'ala's mercy and reserved for the after. So many people will enjoy this mercy and compassion of Allah Ta'ala. Another hadith explains that Allah Ta'ala will command the angel Farishta to bring two people out of Jahannam who died with Iman, alhamdulillah. They will come to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah will tell each of them to go back into Jahannam, return to Jahannam. So the one person immediately will run and jump back into the hand. The other person will be rooted to his spot, will not move from him. Allah Ta'ala knows him. Allah Ta'ala knows the reason for him. But no question is, bring the other child also out of Jahannam. Allah will ask that person, if you have commanded you, why did you run to Jahannam after I removed him from there? He will say, oh Allah, in the world I seriously violated your command. Do not fulfill a single command of yours. At least on this plane, in the after, let me please fulfill this command. You shall go back into Jahannam and immediately come back. Allah will ask the second person, why did you not comply and go back? He will say, Allah, I am waiting for Quran and Quran. So when you remove someone from the fire of Jahannam, you do not return them to the fire of Jahannam. So have full hope in your mercy. You will not send me back. Allah will say gently to both of them, go along, go into Jahannam with my voice, with my power. The last person that shall be removed from the fire of Jahannam, Allah will wish to send him into Jannah by virtue of his Iman. This is a precious nature of Iman. That even if a person is to burn in the fire of Jahannam for a long period of time, eventually, that spark of Iman will bring the power and the grace of Allah to the poor. And you will eventually go into Jannah. Allah will take him out and tell the Farishta, take him toward Jannah. Slowly but surely, he will be so weak after he burned in the fire of Jahannam for years and for centuries. And now he will be taken slowly but surely, brought close to the door of Jannah. You will hear the voice of happiness rejoicing from inside of heaven. You will hear heavenly voices. And then you will hear the last Ramadana. And say, Ya Allah, I'm sending to my heart. Jannah seems to be full. Where will you place for me now? So Allah is saying to the Krishna, take me to him and raise the prayer. You don't know what your options. You go into Jannah. When you go into Jannah, with amazement and astonishment, you will be given such a far land in Jannah, which will be 10 times the size of this planet. Imagine the last person going to Jannah. Discovered such a great piece of land. What about those people that went to Jannah prior to you? This will be the mercy, the compassionate nature of Allah Subhanahu. So there is one hadith there, said, Ar-Rahimun, Yarhamuhum Rahman Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Irhamu man yarhamuk, yarhamukum man yashaa. To those who show kindness, compassion, consideration, mercy for one another, Allah will show compassion to them. Allah will show mercy to them. So then Allah Ta'ala commands us, show mercy to my creation on the face of this earth, and the being that has control over the entire universe will show mercy unto you. This hadith is known as hadith in the first of the Awwaleen. In most of the Dawah alone, when the students reach that stage where they begin to read the books of hadith, then Ustaz of hadith more often than not, this is the first hadith he imparts to them. Ar-Rahimun, Yarhamuhum Rahman, Tabarakallah. It is known as hadith in Awwaleen. Because it has a special feature, which is that this was the first hadith that each student in the chain of narrators acquired from his ustad. Although this attribute of Awwaleen has not gone to the whole chain, but to the major portion of the chain, so the narrator was an Akbar Hukm of Kul. It is regarded as hadith mufassal bil awwaleen. The ulama who commented this hadith, they tell us that the hadith of the Muslims, that if you truly want to earn the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that it is an important point to show kindness and compassion to the creation of Allah. In order for us to earn the mercy and the love of Allah, you need to show mercy to the creation of Allah. Whether the creation be Muslim or non-Muslim, your neighbor can be a non-Muslim, yet you are bound to be kind towards even that non-Muslim nation. The hadith tells us that La Muslimu, or the hadith tells us, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, فَلْيُحْتِنِ إِذَا جَالِ. The person who believes in Allah in the last day should be kind and compassionate towards his neighbor. The hadith does not distinguish between Muslim and non-Muslim neighbor. So it shows that we ought to be good to all our neighbors, Muslim or non-Muslim. In the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi Kareem was warned 3 times he said, La mu'minu, la mu'minu, la mu'minu. That person is not a true mu'min. That person is not a true mu'min. That person is not a true mu'min. The Sahaba asked, Man huwa ya Rasulullah? Who are you referring to? Our Rasul of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man la ya'manu jaruhu barakatuh. That person whose labor is not free of harassment. The person who harasses his neighbor causes grief to his neighbor. inconveniences him, this person is not his true home. That's what Jesus has said in our hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَا دَارَ إِبْرَئِيلُ يُطِيلِ بِالْجَا حَتَّى رَمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرُّكُ. That Jesus has said in our hadith, and has possessed so greatly the life of neighbor, that I fear that Ibrahim will declare my neighbor to be an heir in my estate. There is one fourth in the life of Yahya. So this is the great importance of combining ourselves with the quality of Allah Ta'ala Sifat al-Rahman. فَخَلَّقَتُ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ in mind within yourself. The characteristics, the qualities, the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. Allah kindness and compassion is infinite. Our intensity, but it means we should bring to our lives the tension of the kindness and compassion. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَأُوْفُ رَحِيمٌ. It was a believer being kind, compassionate and merciful. These two last verses of Surah Tawbah and Tariq, according to some Sahaba Radhiyallahu Anhum Ajma'een, such as Abdullah ibn Abbas Radhiyallahu Anhu and Hazrat Ubayy ibn Ka'b Radhiyallahu Anhu, according to them, these two verses at the end of Surah Tawbah was the last verse of the Quran that was revealed. Although Allah Sahaba has had an opinion, the most famous opinion is that the ayat of Surah Baqarah, which follows the verse of Mutari, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّاكُمْ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Was the very last verse of the Quran to be revealed. We are not going to fear that day when you will return to Allah, the day of Qiyamah. And then every soul will be recompensed for its deeds, good or evil, and none will be offended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people will observe that Allah was merciful to Sinakum. This was the last verse. But there is no contradiction. Most Sahaba Tabi'in of the Jews said the verse of Surah Baqarah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, was the last verse of the Quran. So the other view, some even say the verse pertaining to inheritance, يَسْتَقُونَ قُلِ اللَّهُ مَسْلِكُمْ شَلْكَنَالَ. So what they mean is that these were one of the last verses, not the last verse. So nevertheless, these last verses of Surah Tawbah also indicate the compassionate nature of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how kind, compassionate he was. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one line mentions about the virtues of the last two verses of Surah Tawbah, that the person who recites these two verses three times in the morning, three times in the evening, all his work will become easy for him. His obstacles will be removed. So you should make a habit of reciting these verses. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy is boundless, infinite, eternal. But we can achieve get this semblance of that mercy. With regard to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on one occasion, a Bazroor, Hazrat Sahaba bin Abdullah Shikari rahmatullahi, was on his way to the masjid for salah. On the road he had an encounter with the shaitan of Ibrahim. Of course, it was a human form, but somehow Allah Ta'ala put him to this Bazroor heart, which is none other than shaitan in heart, which is Ibrahim himself. So Ibrahim also made up that he had certain guidance. Ibrahim is a very intelligent creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately engaged Hazrat Sahaba bin Abdullah Shikari rahmatullahi in debate. He posed this question to me, that Allah says in the Quran, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay, that my mercy encompasses everything. So then why did Allah Ta'ala reject me? Why did Allah Ta'ala curse me? Why did Allah Ta'ala exclude me from His mercy? If Allah Ta'ala's mercy encompasses everything, am I not a being of God? Am I nothing? I am also an entity. I am not a non-entity. So when Allah Ta'ala declared that my mercy encompasses everything, why does not encompass me? In other words, he is saying, I am also a shade, not a person. I am also a thing. I am not nothing. This is known in the technical jargon of ulama, the mercy of the Bhushan Vasudhi. That my mercy envelops, encompasses everything. So why was I not encompassing the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Hazrat Sa'd bin Abdullah al-Sari rahmatullah says that when I heard this question, I was thrown in a thunder, totally perplexed. My mouth dried. I was asking for bread. What reply should I give? He said that Allah Ta'ala put into my heart, my mind went to the verse of the Quran. Then shortly after this verse, Allah Ta'ala said, فَسَأَتْتُمُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Allah Ta'ala said, I decree my mercy for those who possess taqwa and who discharge the zakat. This is the reply, that because this is not the taqwa, when Allah Ta'ala commanded you to bow down to Allah Ta'ala, the other malaika did it, so you did not do it. So you became rejected, you became accursed forever and ever. So the criteria to govern the mercy of Allah is to have taqwa, to have fear for Allah. You do not possess it. But Iblis is very, very challenging. He countered them by saying that, O Sahar, you are basing this under your assumption, your guilty comprehension, that you feel that only those who possess taqwa can come under the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is infinite. You cannot resist the mercy of Allah. So the Nahr bin Abdullah said to him, he became dumbfounded. He could not reply to this question. He could not take this argument. This incident is related by Ibn Arabi in Futuhat al-Makkiyah and also by Imam Sha'rani rahmatullah in his book Al-Waqi'at wal-Jawahir. In both his books, the incident ends there. So in the eighth, Sayyidina Muhammad Abdullah Sari Rahmatullahi was virtually silent by belief. But Sayyidina Muhammad Abdullah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi, from our great luminary ulama of the Deoband, he mentioned in one place that I do not understand why Sa'd bin Abdullah al-Sari rahmatullah remained silent. He could have replied to this argument as well. And he said, this is a correct reply. When he said that you are accepting the mercy of Allah based on your own comprehension, on your limited assumption, Allah's mercy is infinite, Shahzad said, the straightforward reply is that Allah Ta'ala is merely mentioning in the verse وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy has the capacity and the ability to encompass everything. Not necessarily that it will encompass everything. There is a marked difference between the two. A marked difference. His company has the ability, capacity to do something, but in spite of it, he does not wish to, he will not do that. So Allah's mercy has the capacity and the room to even accommodate me. But Allah does not accommodate me under the umbrella of His mercy because He didn't want it. He did not comply with the command of Allah. He preferred to remain away from His mercy. So he said the story of the Shantam is a beautiful example. He said this is not a large room that can accommodate 100 people. But 40 people enter the room and 40 people remain outside. For some reason or the other, they do not want to enter the room. So the room has the capacity to even accommodate those 50 people, but because they used to remain outside, they will not be accommodated in that room. Another example. Rain is falling down. A man has a huge umbrella. Beneath which three people can come and be saved from the rain. So the person invites you and friends, come with an umbrella. The umbrella can encompass you as well. One of the friends comes with an umbrella. So Allah gives us to remain outside in the rain. So the umbrella has the capacity to accommodate all three of them. So the third person wishes to remain alone, not come under the umbrella. So that is his fault, his own duty. So similarly, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah Ta'ala's mercy has the capacity and it always has the capacity. So accommodate every single creation. But those who disobey Allah, like you believe, disobey Allah, so you can be wished to remain outside of that room that could have accommodated. He wished to remain away from under the umbrella that could have saved him as well from the rain. So this is the straightforward answer. But yes, Allah Ta'ala's mercy can accommodate everything. Not necessarily that it will accommodate. It will only accommodate those people who want to come under the mercy of Allah, who want to come into their home, who want to come under the umbrella. Those who wish to remain alone, they will not receive His mercy. There is a new hadith we learn. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُسْرِفُ وَالْهَنَّانُ وَالْمُسْرِفُ سِلْعَتَهُ بِحَسْبِ الْكَذِبِ أو كما قال عليه. So there are three people whom Allah Ta'ala will not look with the grace of mercy. Allah sees everything. So how can a hadith say that Allah will not look at them? It means they will not look at them with the gaze of mercy, but with the gaze of anger. They will be removed from the mercy of Allah. One of them being al-Muslim. The male who allows his garment to hang over his ankle. Very, very important to keep the towel and the rain. Even the long foot and the sofa must not cover the ankle. That is called a mustier. Allah will not forget such a person with the gaze of mercy. The hadith tells us, مَا أَخْفَرَ مِنَ الْإِذَارِ مِنَ الْكَارَيْنِ فَكِنْ نَعْفَ This problem of the ankle that has come to the town deserves to burn in the fire of Allah. The second person of the Lord mentioned who will not be blessed with the mercy of Allah, Al-Mannan. Mannan is in Israel, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي الَّذِي لَا يُؤْتِي شَيْئًا إِلَّا مَنَّا Whenever he does good for someone, he doesn't look a hidden agenda. For then I will give him a motive. Then I will be kind to you today, so that tomorrow you can do a certain joyfully carry out certain tasks for me and seriously, not for the pleasure of Allah. Such a person also will not be under the umbrella of the mercy of Allah, because this should be happy. If we have good deeds not for the pleasure of Allah, but for ulterior motive. And the third person, and the one who is to kill our soul, will help in heaven. If you want to sell his merchandise, then take his false oath, false attempt, you go to a butcher, you travel in Allah, buy him a grace. You won't find sweeter than it in the entire marketplace. And it is Qasam, that Allah, you won't find sweeter than it. So you take your word, you take the great form, take it, then you scratch your head, you begin to wonder, what dictionary he will do. There are many dictionaries mean to break the best of his power, the great turn of power. So such a person will not be the mercy of Allah. So these three people are based on the لَا هُنْزُوا إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا هُمْ عَذَابُ الْأَلِيمِ أو كما قال الله Allah will not look at them with a gaze of mercy. Allah will not speak compassionately with them, but speak to them angrily, and they will be in a great torment. So there is a task of the letter. Allah will not be able to accommodate everyone, but we need to show that you have to come under the umbrella. You have to also come to the room that can also accommodate us. If we say that we violate the command of Allah, then we must always be in the compassion and the mercy of Allah. Allah is not all the Tawfiq. And the sense and the ability to imbibe within ourselves this quality of kindness and compassion and mercy for the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah make us among those fortunate people who will in turn, inshallah, be showing the mercy, the compassion, the fadl, the grace of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, because it's only with these fadl and grace that we can acquire admission into Jannah. Allah is among those fortunate people.
Today we discuss inshallah the Tahara Prophet, body, clothes, and place of few Masai related to that. The important that we ensure that our body and the clothes that we are wearing while we are performing Salah and the place where we are performing Salah also are absolutely clean and pure. When we talk of being pure, it means it must, according to Sharia, there must be no type of najasah. So, najasah, that we know there are a few forms of it. The najasah that there is a khifa, we normally read about in the books. Najasah that there is a khifa, it's not so common. Basically, just a few types of it. Urine of halal animals, excreta of haram birds. But the rest of it, like human urine, stool, blood, vomit, alcohol, all these things are najasah that there is a. So this is the goal of this type of najasah. So najasah, impurity in any form, should not be on our body, on our clothes, and on the place where we are performing salah. If it is there, we should remove it prior to performing salah. So, with regards to the clothes, how do we remove it? How do we remove the najasah from the clothes? It's basically that by, if the najasah is touched, it can be seen. If you have the form, you can be seen. Then by washing it to that extent that it is removed, that you cannot see it anymore. And then in that instance, the clothes will become part. But where the majority cannot be seen, that can be part of water, pure water, for example. Water that has urine or any type of impurity in it. So that, if that pressure is on your clothes, then you'll have to wash the clothes 3 times and squeeze it each time. washing, squeezing, and the squeezing also should be done to the best of a person's ability to extend if all the water comes out of it. So a person should wash that part of his clothes first and squeeze it on every after every washing. So it's important that if a person's clothes don't become impure, whatever type of najasa, the person should not mix his clothes with other clothes and wash them together. Instead, he should wash that part of his clothes separately so that then he's purified. If our body is najasa, then by washing it up three times, it will become pure inshallah. If najasa is on the ground outside, by merely becoming dry and with the sun, that is the same, it will become pure. But if najasa is on the carpet in our homes, then the way of making that pure, because you cannot squeeze the carpet out, then that means you wash it, let it dry, wash it again, let it dry, and the third time wash it, let it dry. Also, what we need to understand when we have to perform salah, if we do not have a musalla or a sheet to put down on the floor, and maybe in a public place you have to use salah, and then the floor itself is not considered tapa unless we know that there is some impurity. So if a person on the side of the road on the stand wants to perform salah, it's fine, you can perform salah right there on the tiles or anywhere. If there is no proof that there was impurity, it is not considered impure. A person may perform salah. Of course, that is a person facing something down on the ground and he performs salah on that. Also, if there is a surface which is impure for whatever reason, then by placing a sheet or something on top of it, a person may perform salah on that. And besides these apparent najasas that we mentioned, like that, there's other najasas they think in the state of najasa the person is in, if he doesn't have wudu, or he doesn't have, he is in need of the ghusl. So in those cases also, a person will have to remove the najasa by making wudu. Now, when there's a person just one or two months after regarding that, when a person, blood comes, flows out of his body, then he doesn't have wudu, or he sleeps, leaning against something, that if that thing is removed, he will fall down. So if he sleeps in that position, then his wudu breaks. And then obviously before performing salah, he has to make wudu. So this is called hukmi najasa. If you cannot see the najasa, but he has to make wudu, like that if a person is ghusl, and then it is necessary for him to make ghusl. And that has been discussed also as to when a person will need ghusl. If a person has some, and last month, if a person has some najasa on his body or clothes, if it is najasa in hafifa, we mentioned just a few things, a lighter form of najasa, then if it is up less than a quarter of that number of the body, and he performs salat in that state, his namaz will be accepted. And if it is more than a quarter of a lamb, then that salat will have to be repeated. But the more common najasa is najasa of hadith, like urine, blood, stool, vomit of children, our own vomit. So if a person has these najasa on his body, on his clothes, and he knows about it prior to salat, he should wash it off and then perform his salat. But if the after salat they realize that it was there from before, if it is less than a dirham, and less than the middle part of a person's palm, in 3 times a 5 times 20, if it is less than that, then it can be overlooked, it will be overlooked, and his salah will be fine. Let's just say again, they drop a little bit of blood on his clothes, or a little bit of vomit on his clothes, his salah will be done. But if it is more than a 5 times 20, approximately a 5 times 20, more than the size of a 5 times 20, on his clothes, on his body, then salah will not be done. He will have to remove that, and he will have to wash it off, and then perform his salah.